that subscribe button wherever you're listening today, and you can follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO Podcast. I'm joined today by Michaela Griffin. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Michaela is a poet, artist, and a local opinionated Gen Z woman, all right? And I'm so excited to have you on the show today because, as I said, I really want to get your generational point of view. We talk about Gen Z this, Gen Z that all the time, but nobody ever gives y'all the mic to talk about how you're feeling. So we're going to discuss everything from finances as a Gen Z and millennial, family planning. I know they say Gen Z isn't even thinking about marriage these days, and definitely want to talk about mental health as well. So let's jump into it. Yes. So before we get started, I like to have a segment called Put Y'all On, where I put listeners on to my favorite thing. So let's see. Should I go first or you want to go first? That's my guest.
You can go first.
All right. I'll go first then. I wanted to put y'all on to a documentary called Pretty Baby. It's about Brooke Shields. Brooke Shields is like an iconic model. You want to talk about generations. She started modeling when she was literally a baby in diapers, and she's just been a model and actress her whole life. She's like 55 now, and she still like acts to this day. She was like not really taken seriously as a kid, and I mean, she was taken seriously as a model and an actress, but otherwise nobody really thought she had the brains beyond the beauty.
Yeah.
And so she was very hypersexualized as a child as well. Pretty Baby was the name of a movie that she starred in where she played like an 11-year-old prostitute.
Oh, wow.
And so that kind of put her in this, you know, like typecast where people were always just like, oh, she's just the hot blonde. Like, that was her role. And so she actually went on to go to college. She went to Princeton. And then she, you know, became a social advocate or whatever. But she really talks about kind of the hypersexualization of young women. Doesn't matter your color. Like, white, black, young women starting at a very young age were often looked at as sexual beings instead of intellectual beings. And so this docuseries really talked about, well, it was two parts, so it's not much of a series. But it talked about, like, her life and her career and how that kind of helped her career and hurt her career at times. And it's sad because, like, when you look back, you realize, oh, that was fucked up. And we would not have an 11-year-old actress play an 11-year-old prostitute. Like, we would probably get somebody older to play somebody younger these days. So even her own kids now are 16, 18 years old. And so they're, you know, talking about her past career. And I mentioned that on the podcast before, how, like, these celebrities these days are doing this and that. And these celebrity kids gonna grow up and North is gonna see that sex tape. So her kids have said, like, oh, we will never watch that movie. Like, that's just not right. There's certain things you could do back then that you can't do now. So I'm glad that you and I are talking about generations and what's appropriate and what's not. Because some people still can't even get pronouns right. So they definitely wasn't getting movies right back then. No. So that's my put y'all on. Pretty Baby, Brooke Shields. It's on Hulu. So
okay. I think that I saw something along those lines.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm thinking of a different woman. Either way, I'm going to check that out because it sounds very interesting. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, I love a good documentary. Especially like pop culture related.
Yes.
This, her height was really like the 80s. Like that was Brooke Shields' time. So she did a lot of movies after that. But again, they were all about like her losing her virginity or like just movies like that. And yeah, it's just crazy. Like, I know you're an artist as well. So like, seeing like what worked back then and what you really couldn't do now.
Yeah.
It's interesting how the industry has changed, but like, it's art. It was like a French movie too, so it's kind of like, who are we to judge the French or whatever? But no, that's weird. Like,
no, I love pop culture and stuff like that, and just looking into that. I was actually researching Shirley Temple the other day.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Because I was just like, what? I was like, some
stuff.
Not
right.
I know some
not
weird
right.
stuff was going on, and I'm looking at it, and they had her. They were trying to do, like, it was supposed to be, like, this edgy, like, commentary by having, like, children act as adults.
Oh,
they're
no.
still wearing diapers, so it's, like, it's supposed to be a commentary, but they really had her playing a prostitute.
Yeah.
She was, like, 5 years old, and it was just, like, this is not okay.
Right.
This is not okay.
We used to call it entertainment, and now society has a bone to pick with you.
Yeah.
But for good reason. Like, I'm glad that us as I'm hoping us as a society has gotten more intellectual, but you and I will talk about it. I don't know.
We'll get into that.
But yeah, what was your put y'all on?
Okay, so my put y'all on right now is clip ins. I have been, ever since I got to college, I've been having to learn how to do my own hair. So yeah, no, once you learn how to cornrow, I feel like you like reach another tier.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
You reach another tier and it's like I can do anything. Yes. So one thing I want to put y'all onto is clip-ins. Another thing I want to put you onto is doing your own hair. I promise you, it's nothing that a couple YouTube tutorials can't teach you how to do, and you're going to end up saving at least over $100.
Yes.
Like, easy. Like, I love doing my own. And it's like, it's an act of self-love, if you think about it. You're sitting down to do your hair, to take the time. So, yeah. But it's also an act of self-love to go and get those knotless braids that start touching the back of your knees. Because if you want to get that done, you should definitely go to the salon. Don't put yourself into that.
When I met you, you had braids. So have you learned how to do your own braids yet? Or
I have not learned how to do my own braids. No, I think that's the one where it's like I have to be grown with a lot of time and a lot of willpower. You know, mental strength to be able to do
I have
like
already
that.
Made up in my mind, if I tried to learn how to do my own box braids, it would take me a whole day. It would literally take me 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sit on the floor for 24 hours trying to piece together the hair. No, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Heavy on that.
Yeah.
The easiest thing for me is, like, you know, a wig install, faux locks. Love me a quick faux lock, you know, and clip-ins. That's the new addition to things Michaela can do with her own hair.
I love that. So y'all better get y'all some clip-ins because summertime is coming and my go-to, well, it was just to throw it up in the top now, but I don't even have hair no more. So now I have no choice but to wear my hair out. So the clip-ins will help me during this awkward transition
phase. Oh, yeah, and it's like minimal leave-out. It's very much a for real protection.
I really couldn't tell which was the clip-in and which wasn't, so it looks great.
Thank you.
Well, that is our put y'all on. So, Michaela, I already gave a brief introduction, but can you just tell the folks a little bit about yourself?
Okay, my name is Michaela. I am 20. Oh, I want to shout out my Instagram a little bit too. Michaela's MySpace on Instagram. But I am a 20-year-old artist, poet, photographer. I've done a little bit in styling and graphic design. I've also worked in voice acting. You know, jack of all trades, kind of. I really enjoy creating in art. So that's just a little bit about myself.
I love that. And we're here to talk about kind of our generational differences and advantages. And what I love, what you just rattled off, is that you're multi-hyphenate, you're multi-talented.
Yes.
It sounds like you were brought up in a home that you were able to, you know, stretch those parts of yourself and express yourself. So I'm wondering, I know you can't speak for all of Gen Z on this podcast, but what was it like growing up in your home? Were you really told, like, you can be anything you want to be? Or were your parents still, no, like, you got to go to college and get a job?
So, growing up, before I could even speak, my dad was always telling me, you're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. And I'm like, I don't even speak English. I don't know what you're talking about. But literally, if I wanted to learn, I wanted to be, like, an artist for a while, like a visual artist. So one Christmas, my parents got me this really big box filled with, supplies. Then I'm like, you know what? I want to learn how to sew. So they're like, okay, we're going to get you a sewing machine. Then I'm like, I want to write poetry. And then my mom got me this, like, leathers, a very, like, special made book for me to write my poems. And I never wrote my poems. I was using a beat-up composition book. I'm sorry, Mom. But, so they always encouraged me, and then I also went to a performing arts school when I went to high school. So always just being able to, you know, just explore and being supported no matter what it is you do. It doesn't matter if you're the best at it. It doesn't matter if you're the worst at it. I'm going to show it to my parents, and they'll be like, wow, we love it. It's like that type of – it encourages you to continue going because there's no fear of failure.
Yeah.
And once you don't have a fear of failure, it's like, I can do anything. It doesn't matter. They're going to be proud of me for even trying. So then it's just like, you try everything because it's like, you know, why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really love how, like you said, there's no fear of failure. And I think that is a blessing and a curse with your generation sometimes where people think that Gen Z, oh, everybody gets a participation trophy. You guys are all soft. And if you don't get your way, you're sad about it. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it is telling people to be a little more open-minded and to be a little more accepting. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that older generations definitely, lack.
Yeah.
Sorry, boomers and Gen X, but
heavy on the boomers.
Yeah, my parents are in their 50s. They're in their early 50s, so they would be Gen X, and they did encourage me, you know, I could be anything that I want to be, but it was very much still that mentality, like, oh, you got to get a real job, you got to make X amount of money or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so now to see this generation coming up after me, I think millennials are a little jealous. I think millennials can be a little bitter because we're like, damn, y'all are out here making money off TikTok. I wish we had that when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think that's actually what makes it interesting, because even when I was younger, my mom was like, you should start a YouTube channel. You should start a YouTube channel. And I was like, eh. And then TikTok came around and I started, you know, making videos and stuff like that. And I started getting sponsors and whatnot and getting like PR.
Oh,
stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. So it was, we do definitely have the blessing of just being able to have so many different tools available to us that we can just expand and do whatever. And I feel like for me, I grew up in a pretty, you know, supportive and artistic family. So I'll have conversations with my grandmother and she'll be like, you know, she's an amazing painter. Ooh, I mean, she is visual. Oh my gosh, she's an amazing painter. And she was like, you know, but at the time, you know, as a young black woman growing up in the 60s, I couldn't go out and fully pursue that.
Yeah.
But you can. So pursue it full force. And for me, that's a reminder of like, you know what? I am at the right place and the right time to do whatever it is I want to do. There is no reason why I shouldn't be able to do it.
Yes. And I love that your generation, you are getting to grow up with your grandparents and some people, even their great grandparents. Mm-hmm. My grandparents were a little bit older. They were 80 when I was like 15. So they did pass, but I love how we can still get that wisdom from our older generations. And I feel like sometimes younger generations, even millennials, even myself, we can be hard-headed. We don't want to listen to those other generations. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, what has been the best kind of wisdom you've gotten from some of those older generations? Even if you don't want to admit that it was good advice.
There's a lot. A lot. I'm a bit of a sponge, so I do like to. But the first piece I would say is it was from Rick and John Edelman. Do I want to give them a little bio? Sure, I'll give them a little bio. I'm like an Edelman scholar at the school,
okay.
So they have. They do, like, finance and communications, and they are, like, super just, like, you know, into that.
Yeah.
So they came and they spoke to us, and they were like, the best piece of advice I could give you in college is say yes to everything. And I've just been saying yes to everything. If anything comes along, yes, immediately, because why not?
Yeah.
And another really good piece of advice would have to be from my dad. And he was like, just always make sure that, like, no matter what's going on, keep your feet on the ground. Keep yourself grounded. Always have a place to, you know, return to. And then you'll be okay. Give yourself a good, solid base to work from.
I really like that advice from your dad, because something I've said on the podcast before is, like, character over clout. I want to be a person of good character. I feel like my age group, your age group, everybody's running around here clout chasing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really just never been me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when I was a kid, I wanted to be popular. Who didn't want to be popular and hang out with the popular kids?
At the cute little
table.
Yes.
But eventually, as I came into my own, I started to realize, okay, I stand out and I shine in my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years later, after high school, those people are, where are they now anyway? They're in the same jobs as me, so it doesn't really matter. But I love how, you know, it doesn't seem like you're out here clout chasing. It seems like you're really trying to be authentic. And so can you talk a little bit about, what do you think it is with Gen Z and the clout, and why are people willing to lick ice cream on TikTok just to go famous for a little bit, you know? Like, is there something that I am missing as a millennial?
Attention is a nasty drug.
Yes.
Attention is a nasty drug. You can do anything. It doesn't matter. And that's another thing I don't really like with podcasts nowadays either, because they will say the most outlandish thing because it'll get shared more.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you're chasing attention, when you want to be seen so bad, you're willing to do anything. And that's where it gets a little dangerous because then you have people licking ice cream in the middle of Target in the middle of a pandemic for no reason. So it's more so just wanting attention, wanting to be seen, wanting that external validation, and being like, okay, well, when I was up here talking about something important, nobody cared. let me go do this crazy thing, and it's going to get a million views, so.
And I thought about that with the podcast. I'm like, damn, if I was just shaking my ass out here, I would get more listeners. But that's just not in my character. I can't do that. And I feel like, you know, with Gen Z, now something that you said that stands out is there are more options. So, like, yes, it can be a pro, but it also can be a con. And that's the missing link back when I was in high school. Yeah, I wanted to be popular, and we had bullies and everything like that. But we didn't have social media like we do now. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a Snapchat until college. So I really got onto the Instagram wave like when it just started in like 2012. Mm-hmm. So now to see your generation's already born with this phone in their hand. Like I didn't even get an iPhone until like sophomore year of college. Mm-hmm. So to see you guys born with this in your hand, it's a blessing and a curse. I feel like it can make you... this generation smarter and dumber at the same time somehow.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of, because my major is communications, but my minor is new media. Mm. I love seeing the way that we interact with technology, how it's changing us. I have this conversation at least twice a week. Technology is moving at a pace. It is, you know, evolving at a pace that we literally cannot keep up with evolutionarily. We were not made to be... Why do I... Like, even with, like, the Get Ready With Me TikToks, why are you in your underwear first? Like, why don't... I don't have to see that. Like, we are too exposed to each other. Mm-hmm. And we weren't meant for that. We weren't meant for that. And I think that's another reason why people do outlandish things. Because it's like, see me, choose me. And it's like, we weren't even supposed to be... We're just, what we're really supposed to be doing is like butt naked in the woods somewhere, eating berries and...
I think of it all the time.
Eating berries, hunting animals and using all of the parts. That's what we're supposed to be doing, and we're not doing that. So it causes, makes things get a little funky, I think.
Well, it's interesting that you kind of went down that path because I know right now ChatGPT is a big deal, generative AI.
Yes.
And oh my gosh. when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, cool. Like, I could just, you know, get some help with headlines. Mm-hmm. I work in communications. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
But then somebody was like, well, kids can use this for their college essays and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, shit. I didn't think about the implications. Yeah. So even that, I'm like, wow, now y'all have AI that can write your papers for you, where I have to stay up all night for to write a 12-page essay. So things like that, does that energize you and excite you as a 20-year-old? Or are you kind of scared? Yeah.
It terrifies me, I'm not going to lie. Because, you know, I've been studying this, so I'm seeing where it can go. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're just seeing it in the beginning stages. All we're doing right now is training it to get smarter.
Yeah.
We are if something is free, the product is you. Like, we are literally training it to get better. And I think it just gets really scary in this time of nobody watches the news. No one watches the news anymore. Nobody wants to. And the other week, I saw, I don't know if you saw, you probably, you haven't been on social media. Oh my gosh, I'm going to show you when the podcast is over. It's a picture of Donald Trump in front of the White House running from, like, CIA. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's getting crazy in Washington. Then I was like, wait a minute.
Photoshop.
Wait a minute. This was literally AI generated. Wow. But I had to go look it up, fact check, and it's like
nobody's taking the 3-4 steps.
So somebody's like, oh my god, Donald Trump just
they just take that at face value.
And it's like, no, that's not what happened. But it's like, there's so much misinformation now that we've already been in the age of misinformation. Yeah. Now it's really just going to get worse. Yeah. So
it definitely scares me. Yeah. And I mean, I've only been on this earth 7 more years than you. So I sometimes worry about the younger generation, like, how are y'all doing? Because I was watching an episode of Law and Order. I think I talked about this on the podcast. And it was just like some writer wrote this into the script where the girl was like, I'm not going to school. Who cares? Like, the world's ending anyway. And I was like, she kind of has a point. Like, if I was a high schooler or a college student right now, I'd be like, fuck this shit. Like, the world is ending every day. So it's kind of to what you said earlier about, like, saying yes to everything. Because why not? You never know. The world probably could end tomorrow. Yeah. So on one hand, I guess that's exciting because you get to take new risks. But on the other hand, like, are you even thinking about life after college, family planning? Like,
well, I think that happened in high school. It happened in high school. I had that moment too where it's like, nothing matters. I don't care. But it was like, wait a minute. Nothing matters. And I guess it's like anti-nihilism or whatever you want to call it, where it's like, you know what? None of this does matter. we are really just on a floating rock. I'm essentially a sim. Let me just enjoy this life. Let me go feel the sun on my face. Yes. Like, let me just, I found that enjoying these small joys makes it so much less of it turns an existential crisis into, like, you know what? I am really happy to be alive during this time and place. I could have been alive in the 1600s. But I was, like, you know, like, it's just like, you just kind of have to, like, yes, nothing matters, but that's the best thing about it. Nothing matters. Yeah. Do what you want. It doesn't matter.
Well, let me ask you this. I know some people say, I was born in the wrong generation. Like, do you feel like that?
Not at all. Oh, my gosh. I saw this post. It was like, we live in the time of, like, Uber Eats and cell phones. Like, why would you ever say that? But that's true. Like, I feel like, I cannot imagine myself in any other time. Like, I don't like getting up past 11 o'clock. I don't like to cook. I like to work on my creative projects and, you know, just enjoy life. Yes. Like, I feel like this is the best time to exist. Like, because compared to the people before us, it's hard.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, I'm happy for your generation because I remember in the ninth grade when it was like, oh my God, so-and-so's dating a girl. And now everybody's out. It's LGBTQX+ whatever. Mm-hmm. And I know that still comes with its challenges, but just to see the different strides that group has made in 10 years from when I was in high school, you couldn't just be out and proud. And now people are doing their thing in school and bringing it out into their life and coming out a lot earlier in life. And so in that regard, I'm so happy for Gen Z because there are certain things like we didn't talk about in my generation. Yes. And one of them was definitely mental health. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anybody talking about anxiety or depression. It was like that goth girl. It was like that goth girl over there. When in reality, she's just sad. Like, so that's now so I feel like there are certain boundaries that you guys are breaking, and mental health is definitely one of them. So can you just talk a little bit about your mental health journey too? Because I know at your age, your parents are probably like, what you got to be sad about? Like,
well, actually, when I first started talking to my parents about my mental health, that was the approach. But I love the fact that we are in an ever-changing world. It is always, like, the world is literally always changing. So when I first talked to them about it, it was like, what you got to be sad about? And then I talked to them about it again, and it was like, well, would you like to get therapy? And it was like, yes, I would like to get therapy. So the world is definitely changing when it comes to that. Since I was younger, I had struggled with my mental health, and I didn't really understand what to do about it. And I realized as I got older, once you remove the shame, once you remove the guilt, all of the different things that are placed onto it, it becomes so much easier to deal with it because you're not feeling like, oh my gosh, I have to hide it. I have to, or feeling embarrassed about it because it's like, oh my gosh, why can't I just know? Like, you're just like, you know what? This is what it is. Let me get some help. Let me work on it. Let me use my resources. Let me talk to somebody. Let me journal. There's so many different, because we're talking about it now. So now people are sharing tips on, you know what? Maybe you might not be feeling that great, but if you're not, take some vitamin D and some magnesium. And then when it's the winter time, and then you'll be able to get out of bed. You know, just stuff like that. We're having the conversations and we're sharing the knowledge. We're sharing the wealth so that people can know how to take care of themselves.
Yeah. And I really think that is the best thing that we can do for each other and our generations is just working together and sharing what we've learned. Yes. Because like I said, I may have only been on this earth 8 more years than you, but I've learned a little bit more in those 8 years. Yes. So passing that information along. And I was just saying on the last episode, like, there's always so much that we can learn from each other too. I don't claim to know it all. I think that older people, boomers, Gen X, they really need to get out of their traditions. Just like you said, the world is always changing, and just because it was like this for the past 30 years doesn't mean it has to stay that way. So it's crazy to, like, see TikTok on trial in Congress and things like that.
Because, I have not been keeping up with that.
Yeah, I didn't either, but when I saw that on the news, I was like, half y'all up there probably use TikTok, and you probably didn't even know what it was 2 years ago, now you're trying to bring it down.
To your grandkids, show it to you.
So I hate the fact that, like we said, it's in our human nature just, like, shut down things that we don't know about or anything that is foreign to us. We don't want to take the time to learn it. And so I was even one of those people. I was like, I'm never getting on TikTok. That's not for me. And now I go to TikTok like Google. Shit, if I need to look at a recipe real quick, you know? So if you just take the time to learn something or hear out somebody else or keep an open mind, you never know what you might learn.
You never know what you might learn. And yeah. I feel like it's very important that we have these vulnerable conversations with each other. I feel like we're, at least for me and the people that I'm around, we're a lot less afraid of vulnerability. Because
I like that.
That's what connects us. The human nature is to connect. So why not be like, you know what, this is actually, because before, if I was going through an episode, it was a lot easier to hide. Mm-hmm. It was way easier to hide, actually. But now my friends are literally my neighbors.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, Michaela, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. What's going on? Yeah. Like, I'm coming to your house in 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh, damn. But it's like,
that's good.
Yes, yeah. That's good. Because it's like, sometimes what you'll want to do is going to be the opposite of what will actually help you get better. Mm-hmm. And I realized that you have to treat your physical, your mental, you have to treat your mental health like your physical health.
Yeah.
And if, when you're sick, what do? You lay down for about 24 hours, but then after that 24 hours is up, you gotta get up, you gotta wash your sheets, because if you stay in those same sheets, you're going to stay sick.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to give yourself that time, you know, do whatever it is you gotta do. Feel sad if you need to feel sad, but you can't live in it, because or else you're going to stay sick. Yeah. So,
yeah. And so earlier you were telling me about a professor who really didn't get that. Somebody who,
yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to like pick at generations, but I'm assuming he was of an
older
generation.
Yes, he was an older man.
And so do you feel like you face that more times than not, people still not getting it? Or do you feel like you have folks who are coming around a little bit more like, hey, professor, I need a mental health day, or... because you made a comment earlier, like, people say Gen Z don't want to work, or
yeah.
y'all are just lazy, mm-hmm. but is it that, or are you guys really just a sad, depressed generation?
I think it's more so every generation before us has dealt with the same stuff, but they coped in different ways. Mm. They coped in unhealthy ways.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an issue of, you know, we're the first generation to be sad. Other generations were sad, but they didn't know how to express it. They didn't have any outlets. They couldn't talk to anybody. So that's why things like addiction and whatnot were a bit more prevalent in those other times, because people didn't know how to healthily cope. So I feel like, if anything, Gen Z is just trying to learn how to healthily cope, because we understand if you don't learn how to healthily cope, it is going to eat at you.
Yeah.
It will literally eat at you. So I think that's more so what it is. Older generations, I feel like if you're open-minded, then you'll understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, then you won't. It's one of those things where it's like, if you want to get it, then you could get it. But if you don't want to, I can't make
yeah.
you, you know?
I like that attitude. It's like, we're not going to try to force people to get us anymore. We're not
mm-hmm.
going to try to make people understand anymore. Because like you said, you can't get it. Everybody's not going to get it. So,
mm-hmm.
But another thing that you touched on was kind of about how your friends are always supportive and you
yes.
guys are always there for each other.
Yes.
So as you're growing up, are you thinking about your future family and your future friends? Because I'm 28 right now, and I'm
mm-hmm.
thinking about like starting a family one day, and I'm like, damn, do I want to bring a child into
this
world?
Yeah.
This world is not, is there going to be a world left? It's 85 degrees right now in April. Like, I'm worried about climate change, things
yes.
like that, that
yes.
I don't think our future generations, like you said, they were aware of climate change
mm-hmm.
since the 70s. They just couldn't do shit about it. They said, let's recycle and keep it pushing. So
yeah. Recycling is also large-scale propaganda.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. But, you know, funny enough, my brother just had his first child. Beautiful baby girl. Looks just like him. I'm not having my own. It's like, you know what? I want to have the life where it's like, I'm like the...
the rich auntie.
The forever, like, young, fly, like, rich auntie. It's like, oh, my gosh, where is she? Dubai. When did she go to Dubai? She went, like, I don't know. She just been there for a minute. Kind of like that, you know, I come back, bunch of gifts, you know,
yes.
Favorite aunt, you know, it's what I'm gunning for. But outside of that, I don't feel like I would want to do that necessarily, just because it's like, you know, and maybe it's because I'm, like, early 20s. You know how hard it is to take care of yourself?
I'm glad that you're already thinking about that, though.
It is so, like, literally some days I don't even want to show up for myself. How am I going to show up for you? I don't want to get out of bed. What do you mean you're hungry?
Yeah.
Like, go heat up some SpaghettiOs. Like, I just don't, yeah. So I feel like more so being, you know, an aunt, being a cousin, you know, that type of
yeah.
stuff. Like, I'll definitely come through for that. But
yeah.
having my own... I don't think that's for
well,
me.
Yeah, I just
yeah.
asked because I've personally never seen any type of inflation and stuff like this in my life.
Oh
so
my gosh.
Like you said, imagine adding a kid onto that. It mm-hmm. definitely has me thinking differently about my sort of family planning. And they write headlines about us all the time. Millennials aren't getting married anymore. Millennials yeah. aren't having kids anymore. And we're like, wake up, we can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the headline I saw today was like, millennials and Gen Z are draining their parents' retirements because we're staying home longer. Well, that's because I just said on 2 episodes ago, I can't even find a house in my budget. So,
yeah.
like, mm-hmm. are these kind of exterior factors, like, changing your mind about your family planning or anything? Or did you just decide that early on? Like,
well, I always knew that I wasn't
yeah.
meant for that. I always knew I wasn't meant for that. But those types of things definitely do influence your choices
yeah.
because I have been, you know, taking care of myself to an extent. I feel like this is, like, adulthood light, like
mm-hmm.
I love it, like, you know, like, I have my apartment but I pay no rent, like, you know, like stuff like that. And it's like, even with this, you know, soft launch on adulthood, it's like, you know what, I see how this could be difficult.
Yeah.
I just don't necessarily, like, for me, especially with, like, I love traveling, I love being around, I love experiencing new things, and it's like, I don't know if I could do that with a kid on my hip. And it's like, how much is it for eggs right now?
Yeah,
like, I just, like, yeah.
Those are all things that I have thought about too. So
mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear that the younger generation is thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes I don't know. I hate to give Generation Z a bad rap, but I'm
mm-hmm.
like, sometimes I don't know what y'all be thinking. Like,
yeah.
there are people who kind of do embarrass your generation out there. So
a little bit, yeah, a little bit.
But there's people who embarrass my generation, 35, still fighting on Facebook. So there's different.
They're posting every single feeling
yeah.
they have as a status.
I don't think that we can really speak for our generation,
mm-hmm.
but we have had that unique experience of being a young Black woman
yes.
in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
in the school, and so. How has your race kind of played a part into your view on this generation as well?
Well, first of all, like I said, I'm a communications major. So the first year, all of my papers were about the way that Black women are perceived.
Mm.
Every single one, because that was something I could not get tired of researching. But once you understand how the world sees you, it becomes... At first, I felt like a feeling of hopelessness, I'm not going to
yeah.
lie, where it was like, I have all these things stacked up against me. Nobody's looking at Michaela the person. They're looking at Michaela the Black woman.
Yeah.
And it was like, I had to, you know, go back to mental health. I went through a pretty, you know, difficult depression over the winter. And I was talking to my teacher, and I was like, hey, you know, it's been really hard for me. I show up. I do all the work. I do the best that I can. And he was basically like, you know, that's great, but when you show up and you don't show, if you're late or if you don't come, you're already basically cementing the ideas that white people have about Black people. You're proving them right. And that was just like,
yeah, I can't,
you know,
believe people are still saying this
yeah,
in 2022.
Like, you're
yeah.
proving them right. And it's like, it's so unfair sometimes, because you as an individual have to be the spokesperson for every single Black woman, especially
yeah.
when you're in a predominantly white space, to the point where it's like, you feel like you can't even fully experience human things, human emotions, because then somebody's going to be looking at you some type of way. You can't express...
Yeah.
Discontent, because then you're the angry Black woman. You can't be sad, because then you're weak. I'm tired of being the strong Black
yeah.
woman. I am tired
yep.
of being the strong Black woman, because at the end of the day, we are still people, but this strong Black woman thing that you keep placing on us gives us these unrealistic expectations to meet that you set for us.
Yeah.
I didn't set that for
and
myself.
And I was just going to say, like, you're only 20 years old.
I was like 18 at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what I was upset about. I think I failed a test that day. I failed a test, and like, it was just, and the calf food was tasting nasty, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. But, you know, not for for people to expect for you to just take everything on the chin
yeah.
all the time. I got it. No. Black women have the same range of emotions that you do. And if anything, because we have been so trained to, you know, understand how the world's perceiving us at all times, I feel like, if anything, we might feel a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Because it's like, there is history behind these feelings. And I feel like people just don't understand that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that, for me, it's just sad to hear that, like you said, you're 20 years old, you're hearing it. I'm 28, I'm hearing it. My mom's 53, she's still hearing it. Like, when do we ever get to catch a break? And even what I said earlier about, like, hypersexualizing young women, especially young black women, like, we're told you can't be wearing, don't be acting fast or whatever. And I'm just like,
that's the one.
We're not acting fast, we're just being ourselves. And it's sad that we still have to have these conversations. And even if I do end up having kids in the future, I'll probably still have to have that conversation, because unfortunately it's just a system that has been ingrained. But I'm grateful that your generation is at least showing, like, we don't have to be these stereotypes. We can be something completely different. Like,
black people are not a monolith. We're not. We are. And I feel like it's a bit, I feel like society is, like, just starting to catch up with the fact that we are not a monolith. There are nerdy black people. There are creative black, awkward black people. Like, we exist in so many different ways, but the world is not used to seeing us in that way. They want us to be the Jezebel. They want us to be the Sapphire. They want us to be the Mammy. And it's like, I'm not that. And that's why I love Issa Rae. Because
I was just going to ask, you know, who are you really looking up to right now in your generation? Like, I know, when I think about Gen Z, I just think about, like, Yara Shahidi and, like, these different types of influencers and advocates who are really using their power for good and really trying to impact change. And I don't know. I just think about her. I think about, what's that girl's name? Marseille Martin. I think about, even, shoot, Jordan Woods, even though she has her issues, she's still doing her thing, too. So I'm just trying to think about, like, young women who are really, like, trying to give back and, like, make a difference. And I really want YBO to give a voice to change makers, and I think that's really what you're trying to do as well.
Thank you.
Really trying to do it your own way and not out here clout chasing. So.
Yeah, because I feel like at the end of the day, as an artist, your responsibility is to just reflect what's happening at the time. That's it. You're essentially a mirror.
Yeah.
And I love Issa Rae because I'm a poet, and I watched her show when I was in, like,
fifth grade.
I shouldn't have been watching Insecure at fifth grade, in fifth grade. My mom was at home, and I was like, I like this show. But what she would do if she had, like, a really hard moment, she would go in the mirror and she would rap.
Yeah.
Years later, because I didn't finish it when I was in the fifth grade. I literally couldn't understand what I was watching. But years later, I found myself in a really hard situation, and I'm in the mirror. I'm like, yo, yo, yo. And I'm like, I didn't even realize until I watched it again about a year ago that I was like, oh my gosh, I picked this up from this show. But the reason why I picked it up from this show and it subconsciously ended up, you know, popping up for me is because I felt represented. I saw a weird, quirky, awkward, creative black girl who was just trying to find her way in the world. And I was like, I relate to that. I love poetry. I like how she raps to herself whenever she's going through something. And subconsciously, I turn that into a coping mechanism. So I love positive, realistic representation because it shows up in the viewers.
Yeah. And I think that's why some Gen Z influencers are having success, because they're literally just eating food. Like that guy. Yes. Like, he's not doing anything crazy. Like,
oh, Keith Lee?
Yeah.
Oh,
Keith Lee. There's people who are literally just, like, being themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you do have the opposite side of the spectrum. People who look like they don't got no home training and haven't been raised right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another episode. That's what we have to be episode 2 about babies raising babies and certain kids whose parents really weren't there for them and they didn't have a good upbringing like you. So it sounds like you really do have a good head on your shoulders.
Thank you.
What is next for you, Miss Michaela? Since you're out here admiring Issa Rae, hopefully you'll be up there with her one day.
That's the goal. Yeah. One day. Honestly, I've really just been following whatever feels good. Recently, I've been doing a lot of poetry performances, lots of spoken word.
Oh, cool.
Yes, it's been amazing. The other day, actually, I was sitting and I was talking to my friend, and I'm like extremely exhausted. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the most performances I've ever done at one time. But then I was like, oh my gosh, this is the most performances I've ever done at one time. So it was like,
exactly what you're looking for. You're walking in
it. Yes. So, you know, I've just been enjoying, you know, writing, spoken word. I've been really enjoying speaking on podcasts and, you know, media coverage and whatnot, because that's just really enjoyable. And I've also been working in fashion as well, you know, hoping to find a bit more of a, you know, but like I said, just follow whatever feels good, follow whatever feels right. And I found that doing whatever younger Michaela would have wanted, that's what really just feels good. Like, if you go back – and look at what you were passionate about as a child, you're going to find your true self within that. So that's what I've just been doing.
That's what I'm learning. Post-college, mm-hmm. I've just been trying to wade the water and find my way. Mm-hmm. But now as I approach 28, I'm going into year 28. I'm mm-hmm. realizing, like you said, like falling back in love with my passions and going back to what I first enjoyed. And mm-hmm. I hope you never lose that because yes. I love your energy. Thank and I you. Just feel like you're just getting started. Like there's so much ahead of you. So mm-hmm. I love what you're up to. And I want my followers to keep it.